Turn to Psalm 63:1. I'm going to start there. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And then if you would, turn over to Psalm 68:6. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious, and I want you to just keep track of that, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Let us pray. Father, if we come, Lord, this morning, Father, I want to give you the praise. I want to give you the honor that you so richly deserve. For you are the one that deserves that this morning. Not me, not anybody else, but you deserve it. Your Son Jesus deserves it, Lord. And Father, how that He was willing to come and die upon that cross for us, Lord. Father, I want to praise you this morning for your love, for your mercy, for all that you have done for us. And Lord, I will continue to give you the praise for that. And amen. Amen. You know something? We all thirst for something, do we not? We long to feel loved and we long to feel accepted. I mean, am I right? We all thirst for that. Whether or not, you know, we long to experience happiness and joy in our lives. We all long for that. There's not a one of you, if I did not come and ask you, you long to have happiness and joy in your life. We desperately search for the meaning and significance of life sometimes. Do we not do that? There are people who are searching, diligently searching for, you know what, what is significant in their lives. Folks, I want to tell you something right now. When we come into this church this morning, when we come to worship and praise God, and we do it in spirit and in truth, we are surrounded by an ocean of living water. Do you believe that here this morning? When you come here this morning to worship and praise God in spirit and in truth, I want you to know that you know what? You have the opportunity to be filled with His Spirit, to be surrounded by the water. And you know what? The water is significant because you know what? It signifies His Word in the Spirit. During worship, when we sing, we are quenching our souls. If we are doing it to the upbuilding of His kingdom, if we are doing it in the Spirit, we are letting Him in, we can be filled with His Spirit whenever we praise and worship the Lord. Amen. When we listen to the Scriptures, you know what they do? They can hydrate our lives. You believe that? I believe that whenever I am dry, whenever I start to get down, whenever I start to question things in my life, when I get into His Word and really dig into it and let the Spirit, it can quench that soul. It can quench that in my life. It can rehydrate me. And yet, why is there so many still thirsting? Why is it that way? Can you know what? Have you ever thought about that? Whenever you can feel, whenever I feel the joy of God flood my soul, and Patty, I wonder, why does other people in my family and around don't want that and can't see that? Man, it makes me wonder. Many in and out of the church are still longing for something. And I'm talking about in churches and out of churches. There are people that are still longing for something in their lives. They're wanting something. They don't know what it is. They can't quite put their fingers on it. Have you ever seen anybody like that? They keep searching, and they just can't quite get it and can't quite get their fingers on it. We have seen people like that, right? I have. I've seen that all the time. They try everything to satisfy, but nothing seems to work. Nothing that they try and nothing that they do seems to work in their life. You know what? You know, they're in and out of church all the time. They don't come regularly to church, and there's even ones out in the world like that. And you know what? And then they wonder why their lives are, that they can't feel that joy of God in their heart and feel the Spirit bubbling up in them and feel their souls being rehydrated. And they wonder why. And maybe they question, is it this? Is it that? I'm telling you, We have the answers for it. They have the Sierra Desert as their soul, actually. I hate to say that, but they have that in their lives. Whenever they cannot feel the Spirit of God moving, they, you know what? And they feel like that they question why. It's just like the Sahara Desert is so dry in there sometimes. And yet why? When the answer is right in front of them. The answer is preached and the answer is sung and testified week after week, and they can hear and know beyond a shadow of a doubt what is needed in their lives, but yet they just seem to get it. Why do so few drink from the wells that, why do so few don't want to drink from that well that will never run dry? And again, I question that, and I wonder in my own mind sometimes, why are people like that? We all know that, you know what, with physical dehydration, can be serious if it continues. Am I right? I wrote down some of the things here that happen. You get rapid heartbeat when you're dehydrated. Rapid breathing. Fever. Delirium. Unconsciousness. And then eventually there's death if it goes on. Did you know that spiritual dehydration is just as bad, if not worse, than physical dehydration? It can lead to separation from God, which is what I'm here to preach about today when I talk about a dry land. It can lead to separation from God if you're not willing to get back to where you need to be. People continue to insist on drawing from the wrong wells. They continue to do that. And I look and I see this week after week and time. Men looking for something, women looking for something. You will never find what you're looking for. You never will find what you're looking for unless you look in the right place. Never. Never. Look all you want. Try to go to all corners of the earth. Try to get into whatever you can get into, but you will never find anything that will satisfy your soul like it will be when you get a hold of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God is in your life and you get to know and let it work in your life. You will never, ever get to the right being unless you find that. Many, many people are looking for God in the wrong places. They are. Too often we drink from the worldly well instead of wanting to go to the well of eternal life. Too many times, which is found only in Jesus Christ. You know what Albert Einstein said one time, and I've said this here before, when he's talking about insanity, and you know this, you probably heard this. He said his definition of insanity is this: doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result whenever you do it. Have you ever heard that before? Listen to me. And expecting a different result the same way you do it. You see, the world calls us crazy. The world calls us narrow-minded. You know, uncompromising. That's what they call us. But from my perspective, from where I am, brothers and sisters, we are not the crazy ones. We are not the ones, you know what? That, you know what? I believe this. And why change something that works? Why preach something that preach something different when what we are preaching works? If I tell you this morning that Jesus can change your life, He can satisfy your soul, I know that He can do it because He has done that for me. I've seen Him do it for people in His church. I've seen Him do it for people in other churches. He can satisfy your soul. Why? I'm not going to change that, folks. No way. You see, they continue to try to find peace in their lives. Well, praise God, I've got peace in my life. I got a peace that passeth all understanding. The world continues to try the same old ways. And you know what happens at the end of the day? You know what? They still have their same old fears. They still have their same old faults. They still have their same old failures. At the end of the day, the same old frustrations. And it hasn't changed. And it will work. Now tell me, who's the crazy one? And who's the one that's insane? I praise God this morning for the God that I serve. You know what? They think You know what? And you say that this will bring them inner peace. Yeah, that works real well. Just look at the rich and famous and how that's worked for them. And I preached it here last Sunday or so about some stuff on this. But you know what? He just took his life a little over a year ago. And you know what? He was tormented for years. Tormented for years, looking for something that would give him peace. The man was famous. He had how many movies and shows and had all kind of money in him. You would think that would have made him happy, right? He was tormented. Tormented to the point where he even took his own life. And you know what? If you look at that bunch, how many of them have taken their own lives down through the years? How many of them would say, if you truly ask them and if they were truly honest, how many of them would tell you that they are happy this morning? You may not have all the world's riches at your disposal, but I guarantee you, if you're serving God this morning, if you've got the love of your family around you, you are happy this morning. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hey, I'm a happy man this morning. I got a church family that loves me.
Amen.
I got a family that loves me. You know what? And most of all, I've got Jesus Christ in my heart. He loves me. Praise God. My soul is not dry and barren this morning. How many of them have their lives totally in disarray out there? You know what? Totally in disarray. You know what? How many of them are on drugs and alcohol out here in this world we live in? And I know I preach on it a good bit, but we need to hit this hard. Our young people need to continue to hear this. I'm not talking about illegal drugs. I'm talking about prescription drugs. And I want to give you a couple of surveys that were taken. This happened in 2013. An estimated 2.1 million Americans are going through treatment. 2.1 million. Now just focus on that. And get this. The majority of the ages from this group is from 17 up to about 30 years of age. The women, men, boys, girls, it doesn't matter, that whole group right there, 2.1 million on prescription drugs. Anywhere from 26 to 36 million human beings. And they call Christians crazy. What about alcohol? 1.3 million in the United States are in. That's 700,000 on top of that are adults that are in treatment for alcoholism. That is over almost 4.5. Now listen to this. 4.5 to 5 million Americans addicted to something in this country. And I didn't even talk about the illegal drugs. You know what? People are searching for something. They're hunting for something. They're wanting something to satisfy their soul, trying to help them to be where, you know, to maybe face another day. I'll tell you what, when I get up in the morning and my feet hit the floor and I say, thank you, Jesus, I'm able to face the day.
Amen.
When I get on my knees before I'm able to face the day. When I read His Word, and His Word goes with me. And you know the song that they sing, you know, Lord, no matter what comes my way this day, at the end of the day, let me be praising You. I know that no matter what I face, I will be able to praise Him and to give Him the glory. Praise the Lord this morning. But you see, the world thinks it has all the answers. That's what the world thinks. That the Bible's outdated. It's not for today. There's too many V's and thou's in it, they try to say. They try to say that and say that that this word is not what will get us through. I'm here to tell you this morning that this Bible, praise God, it has the answers. And that answer starts and ends with Jesus Christ and the finished work at Calvary. Jesus said in John 7:37, He said, in that land first, He said, let him come unto me, Aaron. Is your soul feel like it's parched? He said, if you come to him, you can drink and your soul will be satisfied. This dry and barren land does not offer what Jesus Christ offers. No way, no way, shape, or form. Listen, Alcoholic Anonymous, abortion programs and facilities, you know what? They do their best. I understand that. And I'm not putting them down. They do their best. But brothers and sisters, they cannot get to where the heart of the man is at, and that is the heart. They cannot get. It lies in the souls, looking for satisfaction, peace, and help in their lives. And that simply will not satisfy them. It will not. You know what it does? It just treats the outside man, tries to get the outside man to do what they can get it to do, and praise God for that. But I'm telling you what, if you want to get to the heart of the matter, the soul has to change, Ron. It has to change. No code of moral standards can change a woman or man. A list of laws will not change a man or a woman. They will not. They may try to keep them under control a little bit, but it will not change them. They must be changed on the inside. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can do that. You want to know what's the matter with this country today? What's the matter with the world? Dry places are a type of spiritless people. And I want to tell you this. God's Spirit, people dwell in dry places. It says in Psalm 68:6, and I read it to you, the rebellious dwell in the dry land. The rebellious. Have you ever seen it so rebellious in your lifetime as it is now? Rebellion. Rebellion's out there. No water in the Scripture often represents the Holy Spirit. In dryness, it says it represents one who is void of the Spirit of God. If you want to get it. Therefore, you know what's the matter with this country? Is there a country right now? And with the world? Right now is because we as a nation need to get back to thirsting for God and to get back and searching God's Word and trying to find God's Word and what He wants in store for our life. That's what's the matter with our country today. That's what's the matter with the world. I want to tell you what, if this country would start seeking God with all their heart and mind, you would see a big difference in this country. I have never seen so many preachers, I've listened to quite a few down through the last few weeks, preaching on America. And on this country, and how that it will not have anything to do in the last days, because we will be so morally bankrupt, so physically bankrupt, that we will not have no part in the end times. I never did think to believe that before, but I'm beginning to see that now. If we keep going down this path, there are those who would say that this nation was never a Christian nation. I beg to differ with that. I beg to differ with that. I believe that when this nation was first established, I believe this, it was founded on Christian principles. I believe that with all my heart. I believe at the beginning that this nation was not dry and it was not thirsty at all, because I believe God blessed this nation beyond measure. But as the years have slowly turned, we have turned our back very slowly on God down through the years. And we are the rebellious that I believe that they talk about over in Psalm 68. We are the rebellious. We are those who are slowly and continue to be rebellious against God. And that will not change until we are willing. That will not change until we are willing to seek God with all our hearts and with all of our souls and with all of our minds. Then it can change, and not till that point. You know what? Spiritual dehydration has symptoms also. Did you know that? It has it. Delirium. That's one of them. You know what delirium is? It's a serious disturbance in mental abilities that is confused thinking and reduced awareness. Do we ever have that today? Amen? Do we ever, in all of our life, have that today? You know, in 1 Timothy 4:1-4, it tells us this. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving." Do you know what else dwells in a thirsty land? You know what? We're talking about the rebellious dwell there, but also do you know that seducing spirits and doctrines of devils dwell in the dry land also? Remember over Matthew 12:43-45, when the unclean spirit is going out of a man, he walketh through what? He walketh through dry places. Did you ever catch that before? He walketh through dry places, seeking rest. and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. If you don't fill it with the Spirit of God, you know what? And keep it filled, guess what will happen? Guess what will happen? It says in verse 45, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Folks, we have got to get out of this. We've got to let people know that, you know what? If you're thirsting and you need the Spirit of God, you know what? We need to get back to God. Do you think that what's going on today is just by luck? Do you think it's just by happenstance? Not hardly. I don't believe that whatsoever. Satan knows these are the last days. He knows he's seeking whom he may devour. That's in the church world, and that's out here in the world. Also, the believer who has neglected the Lord. I believe this. The one who has neglected the Lord, he or she becomes dry. He or she becomes dry, and they begin to empty themselves out of God. They try to get him out of there. Listen to me. And dryness opens up to demonic oppression is what happens. Every demon in hell knows, and I want you to understand, every demon in hell knows that water in the Scripture represents the Spirit. They know that. Every demon knows that. And they know that since Jesus is now at the right hand of God, you know what they fear the most? They fear Bible-believing, praying, Spirit-filled Christians more than anything on this earth right now. They fear that. They fear the Spirit that is in you. Their enemy is the Spirit. And whatever the Spirit abides, they must flee. I want to give you your metaphor for the day. Listen to this. Listen. Demons can't swim. They can't swim. They don't like the Spirit of the water. They don't like it because it represents the Spirit of God. They cannot stand the water because it does represent the Holy Spirit. Keep the Spirit alive and well in your soul. Do that. The demon won't come near. Let this be an object lesson to all generations. Let it be. We are to be filled with the Spirit of God, and we are to stay filled with the Spirit of God. Another symptom of a dry and a thirsty land is unconsciousness. The Bible tells us in Romans 13:11, it tells us this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is your salvation nearer than when we believed. I also believe it is past time for the church to wake up. It is time for us. The country needs us now more than ever. This world needs us now more than ever. Don't let them try to make us cower in a corner about all the things that they like to say is right and wrong. Now is the time that we stand upon our holy backbone, and now is the time that we tell them what the Bible says. We don't get a spiritual backbone. There's going to be many that's going to slip into eternity. You agree with me on that? And without Jesus, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm not so sure that the blood may not be upon some of the church one of these days. I know this. I say this a lot, that the answer is God has for a dry and a thirsty land, and that's Jesus. 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, you know what God told about His people back, the people of Israel back then, still holds true for right now. It says this, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive them their sins. And guess what he said he would do? He said he would heal their land. That's a promise. That's a promise. And I don't believe that's just a promise for them back there. I believe that's a promise for his people today. Praise God. Rain would pour out. Spiritual rain would pour out. And I believe that this morning, if we would just turn and seek Him with everything. The last thing to happen with dehydration, if it goes left unchecked, it causes death. And I said that earlier. Spiritual hydration is no different. Ephesians 4:17-19. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings, did you get that? Who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and with greediness. Did you get that? You see what he's saying? Being past feelings. Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past it says that ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, whereby nature the children of wrath, even as others. And I want to give you one last verse of Scripture. It's found in Ezekiel 18:20, first part of it, and it says this, and it's very true. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If spiritual dehydration continues into your life, if it continues out here for those out here in this world, one of these days of death that you're talking about, I'm talking about spiritual death, separation from God for eternity. That's what I'm talking about. To me, that is sad. To me, that breaks my heart. To me, that is nothing that I stand up here with joy and try to beat sinners over the head with, because I want them to know that, listen, we need Jesus and I want you to go to heaven. If this country continues down the path that it's on right now, spiritual dehydration will lead to its death, I am sure. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And you know what? We have the answers. Whosoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. You have the well. You have what is necessary to give to a lost and a dying world. And as I tell you, let's give it to them. Let's give it to them. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give it to them. Don't back down. Tell them you love them with all you got and tell them, listen, I love you so much that I want you to go to heaven. That's what I love you. Not that I'm trying to make you feel bad. Not that I'm trying to put you down. I love you so much that I want you to go to heaven. Amen? Help me get a song, please.